You're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. The following is a KVON sports presentation.
It's high school basketball coming to you from John Truett High School as we're in section basketball action. Good evening, everyone, and welcome in. North Coast Section, Division 4, Les Schwab Tire Girls Playoff Basketball. Tonight, the John Truett Warriors of Crockett are hosting the Justin Sienna Braves of Napa. And our broadcast is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're joined tonight by Dino Alessio, and we're here in a gym that's been around for quite some time.
Yeah, I couldn't even say exactly when this gym was built, but I'd say it's probably close to 100 years old. John Truett High School's been here for a long, long, long time. At one time, it was known as Crockett High School many decades ago, and it's got a rich history. I was mentioning to Ira before we went on the air that Hall of Fame pitcher Lefty Gomez, who grew up in Rodeo, went to school here for a year, but then he transferred to Richmond High School because Crockett High School didn't have a baseball team, and he wanted to play baseball. But this school, that was like over 100 years ago. This school's been around quite some time.
And a guy that some of the older listeners might remember, Aldo Ray, is from this area as well, from Crockett, and was a constable here.
He was town constable back in the 1950s before he got discovered by Hollywood and then had a great acting career, was in several really good movies. One was one called Battle Cry that was an excellent movie about World War II that he was in, and several other pictures, and then came back here after his Hollywood career finished up and was a very popular character, and everyone around here was very proud of having having one of their own starring in Hollywood movies.
And now we're going to settle back and relax and enjoy basketball action here, playoff style for tonight. Our engineer is Angelo Lyons, and we had quite an interesting situation, our scenario last night over at the Vintage High Gymnasium. Is we had a disconnect that we didn't realize where it was, and so we got on just at the opening tip-off. But tonight we're going to have time to tell you a bit about these teams, hear from the coaches, and sort of set the scene because this is playoff basketball. Justin Sienna, coached by Andrew Betancourt. This is his fifth year as the varsity coach. He coached the JVs for 7 years. That was during the tenure of Mike Bowles as the girls' varsity coach. Mike coached them for 12 and a half years. In the last few years, he has been over at Sonoma Valley coaching the boys' team over there and doing a fine job there as well. On Justin Sienna's squad this year, they have 5 seniors, 1 junior, a sophomore, and 3 freshmen. But tonight they have added 5 other players to their roster, so those numbers will be just a little outdated. But they come in with a 13-win and 14-loss record. They were 5-7 in the Vine Valley Athletic League, which included schools much larger than Justin Sienna.
I think Justin has an enrollment of maybe about 300 students. So, you know, naturally when they're playing a Napa or a Vintage, they're playing a school that draws from a student body of about 2,800. So it's quite a dramatic difference. But Justin competed well in the league. I mean, winning 5 out of 12 against some much larger schools was quite a good job.
And the John Truett Warriors, the host team, they used to be called, like Napa High, the Indians. They were the John Truett Indians, but they changed their name to the Warriors. They retained the red, white, and royal blue as far as school colors. Ronnie McGee is the fourth-year head coach. He brings a team in that has 19 victories and 7 losses. They were 7-3 in that Tri-County Rock League. Last year, they were 22-7. They were 10-0. In the league a year ago. But this year, they only have 1 senior on the team, and she's being recruited by Division I school.
Yes, we were hearing that she's being recruited by even some Ivy League schools, which, that is Division I. I think Brown University was mentioned, and Columbia, I think. And, those are tremendous programs. So that's quite an honor for someone from little old Crockett, California, to be, you know, have the opportunity to go play for those schools and to get an Ivy League education.
Well, Chaminade is the one that he mentioned that was predominantly trying to get her to go there in Hawaii. What a nice assignment that would be.
That would be nice. And Chaminade is no slouch in basketball. Of course, we all remember when their men's team pulled off the upset of Virginia, when Virginia was ranked number one in the country, and Chaminade upset them. So, and they've pulled off several victories like that over the years on the men's side. Not so sure about the women's side, but it certainly looks like they're recruiting the players that might help them win some of those kind of games.
You know, this is basketball. This is playoff time, so anything can happen. The John Sweat Warriors are averaging over 60 points per game, while Justin Sien is averaging just over 40 points per game. So there's a 20-point differential. We'll see an up-pace ball game tonight from the Warriors anyway. And we'll find out from their coach a little bit about what we might expect from them when we return. But right now, we're going to take time out for these messages from our sports boosters, after which we'll be back here in Crockett, California, and find out more from the coaches after these messages. Back here in Crockett, California, and as we await the tip-off of this evening's game, Division IV, the opening round play, Justin Sien is the number 13 seed, going against the number 4 seed, John Sweat. The winner of this game will play on February the 16th, that'd be on Saturday, against the winner of the Piedmont and Middletown game that's being played tonight. Piedmont, the number 5 seed, and Middletown, the number 12 seed. The number 1 seed in this Division 4 is St. Patrick's St. Vincent's of Vallejo, and they have a bye tonight. And the team that they're supposed to play, McKinleyville, had a bye. So those two teams have already made it to the quarterfinals. But I mentioned St. Patrick St. Vincent's as the number one seed because this John Sweat team has defeated them.
Wow, and that's very impressive. And you know, not surprising, though. I mean, we know that John Sweat is a quality team, and it's going to be a tall uphill battle. A tough task for the Justin Sienna Braves tonight. They're going to have to play a really perfect game, but not try to play a perfect game, if that makes any sense. If they go in thinking that they have to do everything right and can't make any mistakes, then the first time something goes wrong, they're liable to get down. So they need to just go out, have fun, and let the game come to them and just hope that they can make some shots. If they can make some shots from the outside, that'll help quite a bit.
Well, let's find out what the coaches have to say about tonight. First of all, we talked to Ronnie McGee. This is his fourth year, and we talked about his team being the fourth seed coming into this Division IV tournament.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, tell us about your team. Seems like you got some pretty good balance in your starters.
Absolutely. We are we're an aggressive team. We like to play a little bit up-tempo and stuff. I think one of the things that we do well is rebound, which gives us multiple opportunities to score. I do have some. I do have my stars as well. Veronica McGee, Lexi Dasher, and Neil Stewart. Those are my three top players, and they're the one that we're riding on to keep us going.
You have a young team.
Absolutely. You know, we have a young team, and we're still growing, and we're still developing. You know, we still got a long ways to go before we can actually reach the milestone that I'm looking for. So, but we're saying that the girls do come out and play hard, and I'm proud of each and every last one of them.
How tough was your league?
Man, we was in the TCAL Rock League, so we saw Salesian twice, we saw St. Pat three times this year. And coming from the Stone League, you know, it was a little bit more compared than the Stone League. And as you know, we tied for second place, but St. Pat got the over us to finish in second. And congratulations to them. But our league is very compared. I think it's one of the toughest leagues in all NCS.
Do you think that your home court here has any advantage to your girls?
No, I don't. I think it doesn't matter where you play. Basketball is basketball. You know, my thing is this, is that, you know, if you're a true basketball player, even if you're away, you should feel at home.
And those are the comments from Ronnie McGee. As I mentioned, this is his fourth year as the head coach. Let's find out a little more about what we can expect from Justin Siena tonight, as we spoke with Andrew Betancourt in his fifth year as the head coach for the Braves.
Well, Andrew, what was your thoughts when you found out that the Justin Siena girls were going to be in the section playoffs?
Happy. You know, this is something we talked to the team about, that, yeah, we've been fortunate enough to go to the North Coast section playoffs a lot of years in a row, but we can never take it for granted. It's something that's earned. A lot of good teams, like Napa High, for instance, are home right now. So, you know, we are appreciative of the opportunity.
Tell us about the practice and all after regular season ends. Do you change it at all?
Not really. I mean, we're still working on skills every day. We're, you know, obviously going over opponent-specific things at every practice. And it's probably a little shorter, you know, to make sure we're keeping not too many reps on the players. But other than that, it's pretty similar.
You've added some players to your roster for the playoffs.
Yeah, we brought up five of our kids from JV, two freshmen, Charmaine Griffin and Kathy Richardson, and three sophomores, Samai Wilson, Belle Wells, and Lily Glambos.
Do you expect that they might see any action, or does it depend on the nature of the game?
I don't expect them to get in tonight. I think that's putting the kid in a really unfair position, honestly, in this kind of a game. They haven't been with us all year. But that being said, it's great to have them up here. They're good kids. They're good players. And great for them to get this experience, even if they don't see the court.
And those are the comments from the head coach for Justin Siena, Andrew Betancourt. Justin Siena loosening up to our left here. And just to our right, the girls from Crockett, the Warriors of John Sweat High School. And we're just about ready to get our basketball game underway. But let me mention about a few other things. Some of you folks that follow the MEL might be interested in knowing that in Boys Division III, that two of the teams from the MEL made it into the playoffs, including Wilsey Wood, which gets the number two seed. And they get a bye in the opening round, and they're playing tonight then in the second round against Warren, which is the number 18 seed, if you can imagine that. The other team from the MEL, the Vanden Boys, the number 5 seed, they are playing against the number 12 seed, Kimball, tonight. And so if those two MEL teams were to meet, it would be in the championship game, which would be at the Golden One Center in Sacramento.
Wow, and that's something really to strive for, is to get to play in the championship game at the new arena, Golden One. I mean, playing at Arco was great, but playing at the new arena would be even more awesome for those teams.
And we might also mention that Rodriguez also made it in the tournament in Division One. So three teams from the MEL advanced into the section playoffs, and from the new Vine Valley Athletic League for the girls, we had Vintage making it in, and for the boys, Napa High made it in, but that's about it.
Yep, and it was a tough year for that, but I mean, Napa did really well to get in, and they're just, you know, it's an adjustment period, too, because they're having to qualify for section playoff in a different section than the one that they're used to qualifying.
Well, I mentioned that this Tri-County Rock League that the John Sweat girls played in, there are six teams in the league, and five of the six have made it into the postseason. So five of their conference teams are in the North Coast Section playoffs, including Salesian College Preparatory, which has an outstanding team there. They're going to be tough to beat. We'll be back in just a moment, set the starting lineups for tonight's game, and we'll be getting underway very shortly, so stay right there. We'll continue with our countdown to tip-off after Crockett, California. Ira C. Smith along with Dino Alessio. I want to tell you about another game that we've added to the schedule. Well, first of all, we'll be broadcasting Prolific Prep Basketball a week from this Friday. And then Prolific Prep is going to have a benefit game on Sunday, March the 3rd, out at Napa Valley College. It'll start at 3 o'clock, and they want to bring awareness to the dangers of gun violence. And it's going to be for donations to come in. Their admission is free, and so if you want to make a donation, that's up to you. But we'll have several state and local elected officials will be there, and they're hoping to get a back gymnasium for that. Sheriff John Robertson helped organize the event, and so we'll find out more about the Prolific Prep players and their coaches and all at that date. So jot it down. That is going to be on March the 3rd at Napa Valley College at 3 o'clock. Well, the starting lineups, first of all, for the Justin Santa Braves, the PA in the background is just a little distorted, so you may or may not be able to hear what the PA announcer is saying. But in the meantime, we'll tell you about the starting lineups. First of all, for Justin Sienna, the leading scorer on the team, averaging almost 20 points per game, is Ashley Whittemore. She is a 5'9 senior. Isabel Wright gets a start in the post. She's a 5'10 freshman and is the team's second leading scorer. Kieran Monteverdi gets the start. She's a 5'5 senior. And we have Ella Thatcher, a 5'7 senior in the starting lineup, along with a junior, 5'10, Carly Wells. Altogether, five seniors on the roster, one junior, one sophomore, and three freshmen on their regular roster. I mention regular because they've added five players from the JVs for tonight's game. For the hosts, the John Sweat Warriors, they will have their leading scorer, a 5'8 junior, Veronica McGee. She is the daughter of the coach and an outstanding player all the way around. Lexi Thatcher, a 5'9 junior, gets the start. She is averaging just about 15 points per game. Jaden Bussey gets the start. She is a 5'4 sophomore. She is averaging 13.3 points per game. Zion Benton, a 5'7 sophomore, who's averaging 8 points a game in the starting lineup. And the gal that is right up there, over 16 points per game average, is Maya Stewart, a 6'2 senior. Very impressive young lady and an excellent basketball player. And as you probably noticed, we had the four of the five in double figures. So we have given you the starting lineup, and now the starters are being introduced to the fans in attendance. Not a very good turnout as of yet. I don't know if more people are going to be showing up, but we hope that we'll get a little bigger crowd for tonight's game. A bit of inclemency as far as weather concerns.
Yeah, it's interesting the way this gym is set up. It's sort of an old-fashioned gym where all the stands are on one side, and so the fans of both teams will be over facing their opposite us, facing towards us, and people are still coming in and taking their seats, so I'm hoping that we'll have a larger crowd before tip-off. We've still got a few people coming in.
You're listening to KVON, 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the Internet at KVON.com. Along with Dino Alessio, I'm Ira C. Smith, welcoming you into tonight's broadcast of the North Coast Section Division 4 Les Schwab Tire Girls Basketball Playoff Action. The Justin Sienna girls will be attired in their navy blue jerseys with the navy blue basketball pants. They have white numerals with the scarlet trim, while John Sweat, the home team, will be coming out here in just a moment. As far as their starters, they had the warm-ups on just a few moments ago, and I'll tell you more about their attire. Right now, Justin Sienna starters and the non-starters being introduced. So they're introducing everyone on the roster, including the ones that were brought up from the JV.
Exactly, and with the five girls that were brought up from the JV, Justin has 14 players in uniform, And by my count, John Sweat has just 8 players in uniform. So I imagine they don't do a lot of substituting. But they've had a very successful campaign just with an 8-player rotation.
Well, they've had 2 players that are missing tonight. Destiny DeBoe is out with a shoulder injury, and Haya Aurelio is out with concussion protocol. And we saw her just a little while ago. She is a freshman and got real good ball handler and all. They're going to miss her. And Destiny DeBoe was averaging 14.1, and Aurelio was averaging 13.4. So you're taking some 27, 28 points out of their roster with those 2 injuries.
But somehow I think that won't be an issue. I imagine that the other players will take up the slack.
Well, the Warriors are in their home white uniforms. They have the royal blue numerals and the royal blue trim to their uniforms. As the players are introduced, they come to the center court where Andrew Betancourt greets them and shakes hands with each. And the one coming now was Aurelio, who has that concussion protocol. So she is not suited up for the game, but she is being introduced and is out there with the other girls. So probably Destiny DeBoe will be in the same category. She is out with that shoulder injury. Andy Betancourt, assisted this year by Haley Kremen, who was an outstanding player when she played for Justin Siena. And Jim Malloy, the guy that does so much, not only for Justin Siena, but for the community as well. Just a busy guy when it comes to helping out.
Yeah, Tim is a great guy. We actually get to work with him sometimes at Bank of Marin, where I work, because he provides property insurance for a lot of our loan clients.
All right, we're going to rise now. I don't know if they have the national anthem. All right, see if we have the national anthem or just holding here. We're going to take a pause, and we'll be back with the tip-off following these messages. Okay, get set. Here we go. It is tournament action, playoff time from Crockett, California. The John Sweat Warriors are on the court. Justin Siena is still huddled around their coaches. Here they come out on the court, and we're getting set to get this ball game underway. Justin going to our left, and John Sweat to our right. The official moves in, tosses the ball in the air, and John Sweat controls the tip. It's Veronica McGee, the coach's daughter, who gets the tip and brings it down the left of the key. Nearly a double dribble, but was able to just tap the ball away as she brings it over the right side. Gets it over there to Benton. Benton back out to McGee. McGee over to the right side, driving into the baseline and putting it up and scoring is Lexi Detcher. Detcher gets the first 2 points of the game. We're just underway. Justin Siena with its first time with the basketball. Here is Whittemore, top of the key. She's going to be double-teamed. It's a man-to-man defense against Justin Siena. Whittemore still on the dribble, the top of the key. And McGee reaching in, trying to move the ball away. Pass goes over the right side, and a travel is going to be called on Carly Wells. They got her a pass in on the low post there, and Carly was covered there as far as getting a shot away, so she pulled the pivot foot and trying to get out of the jam. On the attack now are the Warriors. They bring it forecourt. It comes to Veronica McGee. Underneath, the ball is deflected and intercepted by the Braves. Isabel Wright gives the ball to Whittemore. Whittemore is met in the backcourt there. A little pressure. She drives into the lane, turns around, and gets it to the right side now. Lobs the pass underneath. The shot is blocked out of bounds. Coming in there was Maya Stewart to block that shot. So Justin Siena has 16 seconds on the shot clock, getting ready to inbound. It pass comes in to Monteverdi, goes over to the right side to Whittemore, tries a shot, no good. The rebound taken out of there by Maya Stewart. Stewart gives the ball over to McGee, drives into the right side, goes in, goes up, shoots, no good. Rebound Stewart, no good. Rebound Stewart is up, no good. Rebound this time is to Whittemore, and Justin has the ball. Trailing it 2-0, looking for their first basket here in the ball game as they bring it down the left side, getting over to Thatcher. Thatcher brings it back out now. working from left to right. Over to Whittemore, drives in on the angle in the lane, and there is a foul called. It's going to go against Zion Benton, the sophomore. His first foul called in the ball game, not a shooting foul. So it'll be Whittemore inbound the ball. Lobs into the Thatcher, right, or rather to Thatcher, the right side. Now comes out the top of the key to Monteverdi. Underneath the pad pass, and it's intercepted by Maya Stewart. Over now to McGee. McGee drives in the lane. Double team there, so pass back to Stewart for a three-point attempt. No good. A rebound deflected out of bounds by John Sweat. Justin looking for their first points in the game. We've played over 2 minutes here in the first quarter. Monteverdi used up the dribble on the right side. Gets a pass to the low post to right. Tries a shot. No good. Rebound taken McGee. Fast break the other way. McGee coming down. Going in the lane. Going up with a jumper. It's no good. Rebound taken by Wright for the Braves. Out to Whittemore on the right wing. Whittemore picked up right away by Benton. Drives around. Benton's got a little daylight. Drives in. Goes up. Missed the shot. Rebound tipped around. And taken out of there by McGee for John Sweat. Brings the tempo up a bit as she hurries down court. Passes into the right corner. A three-point attempt is up and good. That was Lexi Dexter. And Thatcher has her second field goal. She's done all of the scoring. We have a quick foul there against Crockett. And that foul, I think, is going to go against Benton. That'll be her second one. So two fouls have been called in the game, both against Benton. So the Braves inbound the ball now. Comes over, Whittemore drives in, goes up. She is fouled by Benton again, it looks like. That'll be a two-shot opportunity now as Zion Benton, who averages 8 points per game, which, by the way, is the lowest point per game average in the starting five. And it'll be two shots for Ashley Whittemore to get the Braves on the scoreboard here at the five-minute mark. And she scores the first free throw. A little lazy roll around the rim, and then just finally nestled in. Ashley hitting 76% of her free throws on this season. Missed that one, and the rebound is taken out by John Sweat. They lead it 5-0, or 5-1. Now, driving into the right side is there was a foul call before the shot, and it's going to go on Wright. Isabel Wright called for her personal, the team's first. 5-1, John Sweat in the lead, and we have a whistle. We have they have to stand back. This is such a small gym that there's an inbounds pass. They work the play, and going in to score is Zion Benton. Oh, well-designed play, and Benton was the one that gets the field goal. Whittemore drives in, goes up with a left-hand shot, and it's an air ball out of bounds. They tried to beat the defense from getting set up that time on their fast break, and it didn't work. This is McGee driving in, and as she goes down the left side of the lane, she tries a shot, and a foul is called. That's going to go on Monteverdi.
Ira, I did notice before the game the officials were talking to the coaches. First field goal, free throws made. We're talking to the coaches and captains of the two teams, probably explaining some of these ground rules due to the fact that the court takes up virtually the entire floor.
First free throw was good by McGee. She missed the second one. The rebound comes off to the Braves, and a pass break as Thatcher brings it in the forecourt. Over to the right side, it goes to Monteverdi. Back out to Whittemore, drives in, goes up, shoots, scores! That's the first field goal for the Braves, and it's 8-3 now as Justin gets back on defense quickly as the Braves are using a man-to-man defense. So both teams starting out on a man-to-man basis. The right side, looking at a three, but not taking it. McGee, she'll drive and sit. Goes in, goes up, she shoots, no good. Rebound right, gets it for Justin Sienna. And the ball is deflected out of bounds. Touched by the Warriors. Braves are going to make a couple substitutions here. Coming in for Justin Sienna is Grace Walter and Sarah Rennell. Rennell's a good three-point shooter. If she's on, she can make a difference in a ball game. We're midway through the first quarter now with 4 minutes remaining. And Whittemore's met at midcourt there by Thatcher. And there is a whistle and another foul call. And it's going to be on the offense. That's going to be on Carly Wells, an offensive foul. So that gives the ball out of bounds to the Warrior down underneath the shot. Up no good, but we had a whistle under the board, and a foul is going to be called on Grace Walder. So Grace just gets into the game and picks up that foul. It'll be a two-shot foul for Maya Stewart. She shoots 56% at the line, and her free throw is good. It looks like a 100% shooter the way she fired that one, nothing but net. Well, we'll come out of the lineup for the Braves. Lexi Rosenbrand will take her place on the court as Stewart's back at the line. Her free throw is perfect. So she goes 2 for 2, and the Braves are down 10-3 now, but they have the ball. Whittemore, being guarded closely by Datcher, tries to drive around Datcher and gets a pick set there nicely by Wright. Now Wright rolls under, gets the ball, and then pass underneath Reynolds cutting for the basket, and a foul is going to be called on Moss Field. That is Farzetta Moss Field, who just came into the ball game. It's her first inbounds pass, comes out to Reynolds. Reynolds bounce pass over to Wright. She fires a right-handed shot, spins out, no good. Rebounded, though, by Whittemore. Whittemore brings it back out the top of the key now. Still on the dribble, right near the center circle, which is right near the free throw circle as well. The ball is off the Thatcher, out of bounds. Couldn't hold the pass there. Deflected off of her. 10-3 is the score. John Sweat with the ball and the lead. It's McGee right side. She gets a pick. She rolls on it. She goes down the left of the key. Goes up with a left-hand shot and hits it. Nice move for McGee. That's her first field goal. And the Braves are going to take a timeout with just over 3 minutes to go here in the first quarter of the game. And it's going to be a short timeout.
So as we were mentioning before, the way this gym is set up, the court takes up almost the entire floor. There's very little sideline room. And so for that reason, I believe that it's likely that there are some special ground rules for a player taking the ball in. The defender probably has to lay off a little bit and give the person inbounding the ball a little extra room because there's just not a lot of room to maneuver. It's a very cozy gym, kind of an old school, literally an old school gymnasium, and a fun place to watch a game, but just a few little concessions, I think, have to be made to the rules to keep the players safe.
We want to remind people, too, that there are flood warnings out, and there's been an emergency from the Marin County Sheriff's Office. We'll keep you updated as far as anything further. Driving into the lane, putting a 12-footer up, no good. Wright with the rebound, tries to go back up with it, but tipped the underneath part of the iron, and the fast break comes the other way as McGee drives into the lane, and another foul is called. Well, at this rate, there's going to be a lot of people fouling out, but the Braves on the defense. Oh, good pass underneath. The shot is missed, and the rebound comes out to Whittemore. She's double-teamed in the backcourt, gets her pass to Rosenbrand. Rosenbrand leads a fast break, and she gets it over to the side. And there is a travel called, and then a three-point basket by Whittemore that is negated because of the travel violation.
And that's five turnovers already on the Braves, just one for John Sweat.
And John Sweat has the basketball now as McGee at the top of the key over to the right corner. Three-point attempt is up. No good by Datcher. Rebound Stewart, double team, and then passes it well off to the left to McGee. McGee pulled the pivot foot as she did that little fake move, and in doing so, just pulled the pivot foot. Back into the lineup is Kieran Monteverdi, replacing Ella Thatcher for Justin Sienna. It's a 12-3 score, just over 2 minutes to go. We're in the first quarter. Whittemore walks it into the forecourt and passes the ball over to Reynolds, and there is a foul going to be called on Moss Fields. That is Farzetta Moss-Field, a 5'3 freshman. She was a non-starter, and she's coming to the sideline now. As back into the game is Zion Benton, who will be playing with three personal fouls. Monteverdi gets it over there. Is a three-point attempt up, rimming. No good by Reynolds. Rebound is taken out of there by John Swift. Pass break intercepted by Whittemore. Here she comes. It's coming down to the left side now. Oh, good job by John Swift and getting back on the defense. Now here is a pull-up jump shot rimming no good. Rebound battle for, and Rosenbrand was able to muscle the shot up. It was just a little short and was taken out of there this time by the Warriors. It's McGee going the length of the court, putting a shot up. No good. And again, it's Whittemore off the defensive backboard. She drives around one, goes into the left of the lane, goes towards the basket. Her shot is blocked by Stewart. Stewart is 6'2", and is the tallest player on the court. Whittemore will trigger the inbound, looking, and sends it way back out to Monteverdi. Monteverdi bounce pass, goes over to the right side there. They get it to, and a travel is called on the Braves. Isabella Wright coming back into the lineup, replacing Grace Walter as Andrew Betancourt makes the change. Minute 18 to go here in the first quarter. As Justin having trouble adjusting to this smaller gym floor and the surroundings here. It's a bit foreign to them. And they go into a 2-3 zone, shooting over the zone. No good. The rebound taken out by Benton. Brings it back out now over to the right side. Driving in, going up for an easy layup. Nobody checked off on Lexi Thatcher, and so she had an easy layup, and that makes it 14-3. Justin with the ball now as they're trying to work it around the perimeter against the man-to-man defense. And the ball is stolen away by Thatcher. Thatcher drives in, missed the layup this time, and the rebound is taken out of there by Sarah Reynolds for Justin. Out to Whittemore, down into the forecourt now, back out to Whittemore, into the lane, passes over now. There is Reynolds trying for another three, just missed it. Rimmed, but came out, and then Reynolds is over there trying to intercept, and she does. Gets it on the right side, and then there's a whistle and a foul called. Good hustle out there by Justin Sienna on that sequence. And Lexi Thatcher, who has scored 7 points in the quarter, is called for the foul. Carly Wells comes back into the lineup, and for the first time, Michaela Zepeda is in the ball game for Justin. 16 seconds to go in the quarter. Zepeda will inbound. First, Courtney Patrick, a sophomore, comes into the game replacing Zion Benton, and Michaela Zepeda gets the inbounds pass to Whittemore. They are going to play for the last shot in the quarter, coming up on 10 seconds to go. Whittemore gets it over to Wells. Now to Zepeda. Underneath, the ball is deflected and goes off of Justin out of bounds. Another turnover for the Braves. With 3 seconds to go in the quarter, McGee gets the ball in the backcourt, and she gets a pass in the forecourt as time is going to run out. And that will end the first quarter. And the Braves just need to settle down a bit as the score after one. John Sweat, Warriors of Crockett, 14, and Justin Santa Braves of Napa, 3, will be back following this message. Underway quickly here in the second quarter. Wells has it in the right corner for the Braves as they get the ball on the alternate position and a bad pass and an interception. We'll catch up in those first quarter stats when we have the opportunity. In the meantime, the Braves get the ball right back, trailing it now 14-3. Whittemore had 3 points in the quarter. That was all. There's the ball deflected out of bounds.
So for the Braves, they were just 1 of 14 in that first quarter. The John Sweat Warriors were 5 out of 16 from the floor.
And Justin has the ball now. We're just starting the second quarter as it's Zepeda driving into the lane, kicking a pass over to Monteverdi. Back over to Wells. Fires one and hits. About a 10-footer there by Harley Wells to start this second quarter. John Sweat, and the ball is nearly intercepted there by Thatcher, but they get the ball down to Stewart on the low post. She missed the shot but was fouled and will shoot two. So Stewart will go to the free throw line where she is 2 for 2 on the night, and Isabella Wright is called for the foul.
Rebound or turnovers were 8 for Justin, 4 for John Sweat. Rebounding was dead even, 12 apiece in that first quarter.
Stewart missed the first free throw. Coming into tonight, she had made 45 out of 81, which is 56%. She is 2 out of 3 so far tonight. We're just underway here in the second quarter. Her next free throw is perfect. So she goes 3 for 4 at the line. Justin Sienna down by 10. They want to get back into the single-digit deficit. If they can get a basket here, Wright comes out to a high post, gets the pass. Now we'll just go back over to Whittemore. Whittemore fakes the pass underneath. Instead goes towards the corner with the pass. There's a turnaround jump shot up. No good by Thatcher. And the rebound comes out to Lexi Thatcher for John Sweat. They slow down the tempo a little bit now, but Thatcher's going to fire a long three. Rim's no good. The rebound is batted around. Wright gets it, and she is fouled in the backcourt by Thatcher, and that's the second foul on Thatcher. Well, the bonus is in effect for both teams, and that will mean that Wright needs to hit the first to make this to get the bonus. She has hit 34 out of 67, just about 50%. And this free throw is no good, so now she is it. And the rebound to Wells, back to Wright, and Wright will bring it back out now, working it over to the side. There's a three-pointer up and good from the left corner over there by Whittemore. Gets her first three-point basket, and the Braves are within seven now, and they're getting used to this gym floor a little bit. There the ball is deflected, stolen away by Monteverdi. Fouled in the backcourt, 1-1 coming for Monteverdi now. So that foul goes against Bussey. Bussey, a non-starter, picked up the personal. Monteverdi, 62% accuracy, 8 out of 13 coming in to tonight. As her first free throw is no good. Well, the Braves are going to have to capitalize on that. They have made 1 out of 4 at the foul line so far. There's a shot from the right corner, no good by McGee. Rebound put back up, no good. Rebounded this time by Monteverdi, one of the shortest players out there. Comes down to Wells. Wells, a bad pass. Intercepted. Fast break, McGee. Coming into the left side. Driving to the basket. Going up and scoring. It'll count. And one. Well, that ball just kind of hung on the lip of the rim and then nestled in. The foul is charged to Carly Wells, her second foul. And Veronica McGee. It makes the free throw. So she is 2 out of 3, and it's 18-8 now. Justin Sienna bringing the ball slowly into the forecourt. Monteverdi, top of the key, goes to Wright, right in the lane, and the ball is intercepted, but deflected it was, and picked up by Whittemore, who drives in and puts the little floater up, and it goes in. Whittemore now with 8 points in the game, and it's 18-10. Comes over left side, Thatcher, or rather, gets it, tried to get it underneath, and a high pass sails over the head of Maya Stewart out of bounds. Justin gets the ball. They have Whittemore and Monteverdi in the backcourt. Wells comes out of the lineup. They have Rosenbrand, Wright, and Thatcher in there. Thatcher has it left side and traveled with the ball. Hold the pivot foot. Little fake move. So John Sweat gets the ball now with 5 minutes to go in the first half, and the ball was nearly put into the backcourt, and we have a blocking foul called against the Justin Sienna Braves. The official giving the indication that Lexi Rosenbrand will be called for her second personal foul. So it is the 1-1 coming. And the free throw is good. Is Thatcher. Only 59% free throw accuracy on the season. She's back at the line. And her free throw this time is perfect. Well, she's got 9 points so far in the game. And her team has doubled the Justin Sienna score, 20-10. As there's a long three attempted, rimming no good, rebound batted around, taken by Thatcher for John Sweat. Out on the left wing, her pass. So then there's a steal by Whittemore, driving in, going up, shooting, missing the layup. Stewart with the rebound. There's a football pass into the forecourt to McGee, down on the right corner for a three-point attempt, rimming no good. And the rebound, a long rebound comes out and is taken out there by Patrick. over to McGee. McGee brings it back. And an interception again by Whittemore. Whittemore one-on-one coming down, going up, missing the shot. Rebound Wright is good. Nice follow there by Isabel Wright. And the Rays get back to single digits now at 20-12. It's going to be a full timeout, so we'll take time now with 4:14 to go in the first half. And the score is John Sweat 20, Justin Sienna of Napa 12. Back. Well, the Justin Sienna Braves getting a little more adjusted out of this gymnasium. When I have a chance, maybe at halftime, I can tell you more about what the National Weather Service has said. We'll give you the latest information as we have it available. There's a shot left corner. No go by the Warriors, and the ball is nearly out of bounds, but they get it back as we're just underway here. There's a shot from the corner. That one rolls off. Stewart goes over the back, gets the rebound, and puts it back up. She is so tall that she just went over the back of the Brave defender out there and put the ball right back for her first field goal in the game. The Braves open for a three, and it's up no good by Whittemore, rebounded by John Sweat. Here's McGee bringing the ball in the forecourt, gets it blocked, and gets the pass back out then after the block, elected not to drive for the basket. Comes over McGee, over in the right corner, back to McGee, looks at a three, doesn't take it. There are 10 seconds on the shot clock, underneath the Stewart, easy layup. Boy, when she's on that low post, nobody out there can contend with her height, and she gets that low post and make the shot.
Yep, she's a powerful inside presence.
Braves with the ball, and they turn it over. A bad pass by Monteverdi. Coming down as McGee turns, jumps, shoots, and hits. A three, a long three out there by Veronica McGee, and she has 9 points. The Braves work the ball over the right side now. Comes over to the left. Turnaround shot is up no good by Rosenbrand. Rebounded by Sweat. They'll bring it into the forecourt, slowing down the tempo a bit now. To McGee, she's open in the right corner for a three. She got it. Wow, consecutive three-point field goal by Veronica McGee, and she has scored 9 points in this quarter.
Yeah, John Sweat looks terrific there. After an even first quarter in rebounding, John Sweat is out-rebounding Justin by 10-3 in this second quarter, so they're getting those extra chances to score.
I want to tell you what the National Weather Service has issued. This is a flood warning until 9 o'clock tonight. It's forecasting heavy rain and high winds with the potential for local flooding for the North Bay, and it will continue overnight. You're advised to take precautions to protect yourself and your property. Consider moving personal belongings to higher ground, including vehicles. Avoid walking in floodwaters as this could pose a threat of injury or death. And avoid any down power lines and all. And we'll try to keep you posted if we get some more information about the weather situation. In the meantime, there is a National Weather Service 24-hour weather line. All right, now play resumes. So let's get back to basketball as Reynolds has it way out the right side. Justin Sienna with the ball, needing a basket here to right. Back over there is a three-point attempt up. No good by Whittemore. It spun out. Looked like it was down and then just spun out. Fast break the other way. Broken up there by Whittemore as he punched it out of bounds on the pass intended for Moss Fields. Coming up on 2 minutes to go here in the second quarter, 30-12. Now, there's a three-point attempt. No good from the right corner. And the rebound comes out to Rosenbrand. So Justin has the ball now, moving it into the forecourt against a zone defense, a 2-3 zone used against the Braves. And the ball is deflected. Wright tries to save it from going out of bounds, but steps on the baseline. It'll be Sweat's ball in the backcourt. They have scored 16 points in this quarter to Justin Sienna's 9 points in the period. There's a pull-up jumper from 15, no good, by McGee, rebounded by the Braves. Whittemore, between circles, drives the left of the key, goes up with a left-hand shot, and it goes in. But sir, in double figures. So far, three of the Braves have scored, and Whittemore, the only one with more than two. There is a travel coming down for the Warriors. Braves get the ball back now. They had been able to keep the ball basically, or the score basically, within a 10-point range. We'll see if they can get back and get into single digits again. As driving in as Whittemore puts a shot up, no good, rebounded by Stewart, double-teamed by the Braves. But she's so tall, she just held the ball up high, and they were jumping and still couldn't get it. She was listed at 6'2". There is underneath the basket and left open, an easy layup there for Datcher. And Lexi has 11 points now in the game. Braves right on a kind of a high post, gets a pass. Over there's a three-point attempt. Switch for Sarah Reynolds, getting a three-point basket. That's the Braves' second three-pointer. And there, Veronica McGee fell down, and the Braves get the ball back as Reynolds brings it front court and passes it way over to the side. A bad pass, and it's intercepted now by John Sweat. We're in the final 30 seconds of this half. Braves do a nice job getting back on the defense and steal the ball, but they've stolen right back with 7 seconds to go in the half. There is a long two rimming no good by Datcher. Rebound up no good at the buzzer. So John Sweat came up with 18 points in that quarter, while Justin Sienna managed 14 points in the quarter. And we're at halftime, so stay tuned. We have an interview, and we'll check the latest from the weather department when we come back. The halftime score, John Sweat, Warriors of Crockett, 32. Justin Sienna, Braves of Napa, 17. Back here in Crockett, California at the John Sweat High School, and we have a chance to talk with the athletic director of Justin Sienna, George Nessman. And, George, this is a busy season. When you get into the spring sports, you've got a lot of activities going on at Justin Sienna.
No question, Ira. A lot of it is the crossover, too. The winter sports haven't concluded, so we have a lot going on, but that's good. You know, about 80% of our student body plays a sport, so it's a good problem to have.
Well, tell us a bit about what happens with the inclemency that we have in the weather. How much of a factor is that for the sports?
Well, it creates a lot of, you know, chaos, actually, because you're constantly changing dates, rearranging practice schedules, rearranging games, changing transportation schedules. We just got to stay on top of it. Everyone's got to communicate and take care of it. It's good for the state to get a lot of rain, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, and coordinating officials, too, that can be a headache.
Every time there's a change, there's a bunch of dominoes that fall, and if one of them misses, then it, you know, it creates the problem.
You had a son that played basketball at Justin Sienna. I thought it was interesting this year. He was an assistant coach for the boys' basketball team. How did John enjoy that?
He really enjoyed it. He likes Coach Carnucci a great deal. And, you know, he's been around coaching his whole life, been around the gym his whole life. And I think he has an eye for it, and he seemed to really have a good time with it.
What does it look like as far as next year, as we've had quite a few changes each year in the boys basketball department? Does it look like that Dave Carnucci might be back?
Yeah, I think I certainly expect Dave to be back. I think he's got a good handle on what the program needs to do to succeed, and I think they're on the right track.
Well, they ended with a big victory.
No question. It's good to end the season on a positive. That's one you carry with you for a long time, so it's good to end on a positive note.
It was also interesting that last year that you stepped in and took over the reins of the basketball program for the final few games.
It wasn't that interesting. It wasn't something that I wanted to do, that's for sure. But it was a necessity, and we finished out the season. I was proud of the boys. They handled it really well, and they did. They put a great effort in at the end of the season.
You also had experience at De La Salle, so what can you tell us about any similarity between the programs, the two schools?
Well, they're both brother schools, so that's, you know, they're philosophically, De La Salle and Justin Sienna are aligned. Obviously, the basketball tradition, the overall football tradition, the sports tradition at De La Salle is pretty advanced. And but I think the idea that the classroom extends into the sports arena is consistent at both schools.
We're talking with George Nessman, who is the athletic director at Justin Sienna. And you have a sport over there at Justin that I don't think the public schools has. Eh?
What does it mean, lacrosse? Yeah, and it's thriving. We have, I think, 50 girls playing lacrosse and almost 40 boys. And it's a sport that really seems to be getting a foothold here in California.
A lot of freshmen out there for lacrosse.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of freshmen playing sports in general. We have a lot of kids playing sports. But lacrosse is, as I say, a popular sport at the school. It's thriving. We have two really good coaches, dynamic coaches that are doing a great job with it, and we expect really good things from our lacrosse program this year.
Well, they had a tough one the other day. 10-9 was the final in their first game of the season, and it's something that's coming on the scene a little stronger, it seems like, each year.
No question. There's always room for sports that engage people, and lacrosse is a really engaging sport. You know, there's a lot of activity in it. There's some strategy. You have to use your head. So it's a good sport.
Let me ask you about the softball facility now, how that has come along and what you can tell us about that situation.
Well, it was a necessity because of some of the other construction on campus. We had to move the softball field. So Brian Kassir has done a wonderful job in directing the building of the facility. It's going to be a premier softball field, I think, in terms of high school sports.
How are the dimensions going to be compared to the previous location?
Real similar. Previously, we were 185 left, center, and right. We're 181 and 182 left, center right now. I think there's a little bit of a downgrade, though, because of the drainage. So it may play a little shorter than that, but it's pretty standard.
What will be behind the outfield? Is that around the fire station area or what?
No, it's on the other side. So we have a barrier fence along the street, along Solano. I don't anticipate that many balls going on in Solano. Baseball occasionally hits them out there, but we'll have some, but not many.
Well, give us an idea then as far as the other sports, baseball having to watch out for the weather. Do they condition it all inside?
Yes. You know, you try to keep your athletes as active as you can. The coaches do a lot of work in the weight room, in the gym and run when they can, or in the breezeways and run. Some of the sports are still training even in the rain. You know, the lacrosse plays in the rain, so you train in the rain. Track runs in the rain, so you train in the rain.
At Justin Siena, as athletic director, do you have an assistant athletic director? Is there such a thing?
I don't have one, no. We've got a lot of people trying to help. Andy Betancourt, Brandon LaRocco, a lot of the coaches try to help, pitch in and help. Jeremy Tayson helps quite a bit. But no, I don't have an assistant.
But you do have a gal that helps out as far as the training staff.
Sarah Goble does an outstanding job. She's been on maternity leave for the last couple months, and we really miss her. Taylor Bright, who's come in and been the substitute, has really done a good job, though, too.
When does she come back from that maternity leave?
End of the month. We're looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to the second half, and hopefully the Justin girls can calm down a little bit. This is such an unusual gym for there to play in.
It's a very good opponent, too. That's much better than the gym. We got to make more shots. You know, we're just not converting our offensive opportunities. We do a better job of that. We'll get right back in the game.
Thanks, George, for sharing your halftime.
Thanks, Ira.
George Nessman, the athletic director. And let's go to Dino Alessio now and take a look at some of the shooting statistics of that first half.
Well, George's comment was absolutely right on in terms of the lack of accuracy by the Justin girls. It's a darn shame, too, because they've had at least three shots that I've counted that went like a third of the way down the hoop and then somehow turned around and came out again. The Justin Lady Braves are 7 out of 30 from the floor. That includes 2 out of 9 from 3-point, 2 out of 7 from 3-point range. And they're only 1 out of 4 from the free throw line. The John Sweat Warriors are 11 for 33 from the floor, including 3 of 11 from 3-point range. And they're 7 of 9 on their free throw shooting. The turnovers, way too many for Justin, 13 in the first half. 9 for John Sweat. Justin had 17 rebounds, and John Sweat had 25, which is a very high number for a half of a high school basketball game. They're on pace to get 50 rebounds. And another interesting stat, Justin had 3 assists on their 7 made baskets, and John Sweat had 7 assists on their 11 made baskets. So they're doing a good job of setting each other up for to make buckets. There were 2 blocked shots in that first half, both by John Sweat. Sweat was the first to score, and they've led throughout the entire first half. There were no lead changes or ties.
When we have a chance, we'll give you further information on that flood warning. The one that we have now has come from the Marin County Sheriff's Office. The National Weather Service has issued flood warnings. These are just warnings. Up until 9 o'clock tonight. We'll tell you more about that when we have the opportunity. Play resumes. Here we go. Third quarter basketball action. Alternate position gives Sweat the ball. They bring it in the forecourt right side. Take it down into the corner there to Datcher. Datcher brings out the top of the key. A three-point attempt is up off. No good. Stewart's rebound is up. It's no good. The rebound is battled for, and a foul already here in the second half is going to go against John Sweat, and that'll be against Buzzy. And that's her second. It's amazing with all the fouls called. Nobody for Justin has more than two, and only one player for John Sweat has three. Justin Santa with the ball now as they bring it forecourt. It's Whittemore getting it over to the right side. Monteberry, her pass is intercepted. Driving down as Bussey goes up, scores, and one. Foul by Wells, and that's her third foul. So on the steal, Jaden Bussey goes to the free throw line. She hasn't been there much this season. She is 3 out of 9. So just 33%, but she hasn't attempted that many free throws. And her free throw is up, and that one is good. So she helped her average quite a bit there on that one shot. 35-17 as we're just underway here in the third quarter. Justin with the ball. It's Whittemore passing to Wells on the low post, and she brings it back out. Now it goes in to right, turns. Shot is blocked by Stewart, went up high, and that was a very nice defensive play, and the Warriors bring the ball into the forecourt after getting it on the block. Stewart goes low post where she's fouled by Whittemore. We'll see if she was in the act of shooting. Looked like she was going to the basket, and it is going to be a two-shot opportunity. Amazing that Stewart only had a couple field goals there in that first half. She's by far the tallest player on the court, and she missed the free throw. In the first half, she was 3 out of 4 at the foul line, so she's 3 out of 5 now and 56% on the season. Averages over 16 points per game. And her next free throw is perfect. Gives her 8 points in this game. And it makes it a 36-17 score, a 19-point bulge there for John Sweat. As Justin Sienna brings the ball in the forecourt against a 2-3 zone defense. As it goes to Monteverdi, tries a three. Kaboom! Got it! As Kieran Monteverdi gets her first three-point basket, her first point in this game, this North Coast Section Division 4 game. There's an interception by Thatcher. And over now to Whittemore. And a long pass down to right, off her fingertip, out of bounds, trying to beat that defense from settling in on a 2-3 arrangement. Early here in the third quarter, John Sweat with the ball. The ball is nearly deflected. It comes out to McGee, tries the three, no good. Rebound out of bounds to the Braves. Braves have Monteverdi and Whittemore there at guards, and they have Thatcher, who came back in the backcourt to help out, along with Wright and Wells in the game now as the Braves bring it around, and the ball is tipped out of bounds by Zion Benton. Benton had 3 early fouls called in that first quarter and didn't play a whole lot after that. Back in there to start. There's a three-point attempt up. It's an air ball from Whittemore. She had a little opening and decided to take the shot. We played 2 minutes here, and it's 36-20. John Sweat with the ball in the lead, and the right nearly steals it. She went up in the air, batted it, and tried to get possession, but it goes out of bounds. So it will be Sweat ball right at midcourt. Braves are trying to be as active as possible on the defense. It's a man-to-man alignment, but we'll follow it around. And there's a steal by Whittemore. Drives in, goes in, lays it up for two. Nice defense and steal by Ashley Whittemore. Here's McGee driving in, going up, shooting. No, and it's not going to count. There was a travel before the shot by Veronica McGee. She is the coach's daughter. Her dad, Ronnie McGee, in his fourth year as the head coach. This John Sweat team averages over 60 points per game. There is a foul as Whittemore tried to drive the lane. And just kind of stumbled, but she was fouled there by Bussey, her third personal. Returning to the lineup for Justin Sienna is 5'8 sophomore, Lexi Rosenbrand, taking the place of Carly Wells. That was not a shooting foul, so it'll be inbounded, and a long pass goes into the backcourt. That is legal there. It was not touched, so it can go into the backcourt on the inbounds. Here, driving in, going up with the left-hand shot from the left side. No good by Whittemore. Rebound cleared out of there by Zion Benton and Southamore. Over to McGee. They only have one senior on this team. Underneath, that's her. Stewart missed the layup. Gets a rebound. Puts it up. Missed that one. Rebound Monteverde for the Braves. Bounce past the right side to Whittemore. Brings it across the line. Goes to the left. Ball nearly stolen. Deflected off of Whittemore. Out of bounds. Good defense by Veronica McGee on the, deflecting the ball off of Whittemore. We're going to have a substitution, but got there too late to come in. There is a driving layup that will be negated because of another travel violation on Sweat. Now we have the substitution. Farzana Mossfields, Moss-Fields, actually, in her last name, into the game. And we have for Justin Siena, Grace Walter coming in. Grace is one of the five seniors, that Whittemore being another one, Walters, and they have Kieran Monteverde, Ella Thatcher, and Michaela Cepeda, all our seniors.
Yep, and those are going to be tough holes to replace in the lineup when they go, but they still got the rest of this game to play, and they're down by 14, but, I mean, Justin's really playing well. It's just a lot of talent on the part of John Sweat is going to make it really difficult for Justin. But on that last drive to the basket for Whittemore, she streaked into the basket with that turnover. She was not going to be caught from behind and or get fouled and not be able to make that basket. She just tore in there and laid it in.
She has a dozen points in the game to lead Justin Siena, and Veronica McGee has a dozen points for John Sweat to lead the Warriors. As play resumes, Justin Siena brings the ball into the forecourt against the 2-3 zone set up by the Warriors. Monteverde brings it between circles and gets it over now to Whittemore. Whittemore looks at a three, doesn't take it. Passes over now to Monteverde, tries a three, and it's an air ball. So that will be Sweat getting the ball in the backcourt with 4:15 to go in the third quarter, leading at 36-22. Into the forecourt comes McGee. They lob a pass underneath to Stewart, overshoots, and the rebound is taken out by Justin Siena. They get the ball over to Whittemore. Whittemore, front court, lobs it over to the right, and we have a shoving foul called, and that's going to go against McGee, and that's the first foul on Veronica McGee. Just one senior on this Warriors team, three juniors, four sophomores, and two freshmen. Inbounds pass to the left. There's a long two up. No good by Thatcher. Rebounded by Stewart again. The tall gal pulls it right out. Passes it to Thatcher into the forecourt. Over the left side to Benton. Drives toward the top of the key. Checked off the drive there by Thatcher. And clicked it back across the timeline. But touched by Thatcher. So put down into the left corner for a three-point attempt. No good. Rebound by Stewart again. Back out it comes now, Benton and a whistle. And we have a, I don't know if it's a timeout or what, we had the stoppage in play, but you're going to be a substitute. Apparently the one girl may have jammed a finger or something.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what happened.
Underneath the Stewart, she's alone and lays it in. Boy, that is so easy for her to do when she gets that lob pass and she's behind the defense. Defense trying to play in front of her to keep her from getting the ball. There's a bad pass by Walter. Intercepted, pass break the other way, and nearly lost, and it is a scramble for the ball. That's taken by Lexi Rosenbrand. Comes into the forecourt as Monteverde passes over the right side to Rosenbrand. Over to Walter, puts the shot up, no good. Goes for her rebound and gets it. Passes it over to a three-point try by Whittemore, no good. Rebound is no good by Grace Walder. Rebounded this time by John Sweat. They bring it down, and McGee's going all the way, puts it up, and scored on a good drive on the layup. and she has 14 points to lead all scorers in the ball game. Makes it 40-22. Underneath, there's a shot. Good on the left side by Lexi Rosenbrand for Justin. They did a good job of passing it. She was open there for about a 10-footer. Into the forecourt now comes John Sweat, lost field. And it's stolen away by Thatcher again to Whittemore. Whittemore drives in the lane, goes up with the jump shot, and banks it in. Whittemore with 14 now. And the Braves back within 14, 40-26 the score. Justin averages 40 points per game. There's McGee driving baseline, put it up off the backboard for two. Nice one by Veronica McGee. So she's got a couple quick baskets. Down the other end of the court quickly, Whittemore tried to beat the defense, fired one up and misses, and the rebound to John Sweat as they get the ball front court. McGee, she fires the three. Kaboom. Got it. That's her third three-point basket. She has 19 points now. She's over. There she steals the ball at midcourt and drives in, and there is a foul called. Monteverdi going to be called for the foul. It'll be a two-shot foul. That's only the second foul on Kieran Monteverdi. That'll put Veronica McGee at the foul line, 76% on the season. And she missed the first one. She had made 109 out of 144 before she missed that one. A minute and 11 to go here in this third quarter of play as the free throw is up, and that one is good. So she split free throws that time and has 20 points in the game. Justin Sienna slows down the tempo now as walking across the timeline is Whittemore on the high dribble. Takes it between circles. Look, she's going to fire a quick three. It hits the flange, no good, and it caroms all the way out to McGee. McGee, front court, to the left of the key. Guarded very tightly over there by Thatcher. And passed underneath to Stewart. Double team, puts the shot up, and it rolls off, no good. Rebound by the Braves as Whittemore comes out with the ball. A lead pass is deflected by McGee and stolen there by the Warriors. They'll bring it back into their attacking territory now. And McGee at the top of the key will fire another three. No good this time. And a long rebound comes way back out to McGee. Underneath to Stewart on the right side. They fire and hit a three from the left side by Jaden Busby. Busby gets her second field goal, and there she steals the ball down to McGee behind the defense. Easy layup for two more with 3 seconds to go in the quarter. And there is a shot after the buzzer. But in that quarter, it was a 19-point quarter for the Warriors and the Braves, a 9-point quarter. So we are at the end of three. And the score is the John Sweat Warriors of Crockett, 51. Justin Sienna Braves of Napa, 26. Back after this message. Going into the fourth quarter, the Braves get the ball on the alternate possession. Pass comes to Wright. Wright back out to Monteverdi. Tries a three, no good. Rebound put up, no good, but a foul is called as Lexi Rosenbrand got the rebound and tried to put it back up. And a foul was called. That foul goes on Benton, and that is her fourth personal foul.
So in that quarter, Justin made 4 out of 15 on field goals, including 1 3-pointer. John Sweat made 7 out of 15, including 2 3-pointers.
Free throw is good. At first of two by Rosenbrand. She's back at the line. Made 58% on the season, and she makes 2 for 2 there. And she was 31 out of 53 coming into this game. Braves, again, do a nice job of getting back on transition defense there. And there's a shot from the right corner from three-point range. No good by McGee, but they get the rebound and kick it back out to McGee. Looks at it. Three again, lobs it underneath. And again, Stewart got behind the defense, and they were able to lob the pass to her. When they can lob it over the defense there, she's got an easy layup. As there's a travel on Michaela Cepeda, she got the ball and started to walk with it before she put the dribble down. She got a little excited, I think, on the play there. 53-28, the score. This John Sweat team is very good. They are working the ball around nicely. There's another three-point attempt. No good this time. Rebound put back up. No good by Benton. Rebound good. Let's see if it counts. There was a foul. The basket is good, and the foul is on Wright, her third. Stewart got the field goal. At the foul line tonight, she has made four out of six, but only 56% on the season. But she has done the damage here in this rebounding category. And her free throw is good, so that makes it a three-point play the old-fashioned way and gives her 15 points in the game. Michaela has the ball stolen away from her, a two-on-one fast break, and they throw it away. Michaela Cepeda just having a little trouble with ball control there now. One of the five seniors on the Braves team. They have Reynolds, a freshman, out there with the ball, firing a long three, and it's an air ball out of bounds. Back into the lineup is Ashley Whittemore. She was out there out on the bench for a little bit. Now they have her take Michaela Cepeda's place on the court. As the Warriors bring the ball for court, it's McGee to the left of the key, guarded pretty tightly there by Monteverdi, and they try to lob one underneath to Stewart, and she saved it from going out of bounds, but couldn't get the shot, and flips it back out to McGee. McGee, and then they nearly throw it away, but it does go out of bounds in the corner, as they had brought Courtney Patrick back into the lineup for Ronnie McGee's team. Justin Sienna with the ball now. Just 6 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, and it is Reynolds. Bounce pass in the middle, deflected, picked up and put up, and a foul is called. He missed the shot, but will go to the line for two free throws. That foul on Patrick. At the foul line will be Lexi Rosenbrenn. She just made two in a row there. Let's see if she can keep that skein going. Nope, she missed. 58% on the season. Reynolds is replaced. Back in is Thatcher. Back at the line is Rosenbrenn, a sophomore. And her free throw is no good. 0 for 2 this time at the line. And it is remaining 56-28. McGee, front court, quarter court, right side. And she starts to drive, drives around Wells, goes in and lays it in. Well, quick move there, giving her 24 points in the game. Just four less than the entire Braves team has scored. Here's Justin Sienna with Wells on a high post, has the ball stolen away from her. And it is 2-on-4 fast break, but they're going to go with it anyway. Down to Benton, tries a shot, no good. The rebound by McGee back out to Benton. No, top of the key now where the big girl, Maya Stewart, is, and gets it underneath. There's a shot up, and good by Patrick, her first basket in the ballgame. That makes it 60-28 now with 5 minutes to go. Wells over to the side, a three-pointer is in and out. No good by Whittemore. Rebounded by John Sweat. Boy, they work things so well, and they've got outside shooting, they've got an inside presence, and they try to go inside, and the ball is deflected out of bounds. It'll be Justin's ball. Back into the lineup for Justin Santa, Grace Walter and Michaela Cepeda, and Wells comes out, and so does Lexi Rosenbrenn. Into the forecourt is Whittemore, guarded pretty tightly out there by Boosie. Over to Michaela Cepeda. Underneath, intended for Grace Walter, but deflected away from her. It was out of bounds. You know, I think Maya Stewart has played the entire game. And I know McGee has. And inbounds pass to Whittemore. She's going to fire a three. It rims. No good. Hit the iron. And the rebound comes out to the Braves. Gives to Whittemore again. Drives in. Goes up with the left hand. Just missed. Stewart rebounds this time for John Sweat. Out on the left wing to McGee. McGee slows it down. puts her hands up, say, let's set up a pattern, and then she's going to take a timeout. She said, well, let's take a timeout, and it is going to be a long timeout, so we'll take timeout now as we're midway through the fourth quarter. Play resumes now. Justin Jenna on the defense as John Sweat brings the ball. Tried to get it underneath the Stewart, but it was intercepted there by Whittemore. Actually being bothered there in the backcourt by Patrick. She twirls around her, brings it in the forecourt, passes over to Thatcher. She tries the shot. No good. Rebound is put back up, and good by Whittemore. Ashley has scored in every quarter. She was the only Brave to score in the first quarter. There is a three-point shot from the left corner. That is good by Thatcher. Thatcher had 11 points in the first half. That's her first points of the second half, though. There's a steal and a fast break coming down and going up, shooting and scoring the layup was Thatcher, who had just hit that three-pointer and then gets an easy layup for 16 points. Makes it 65-30. Whittemore goes in, puts a little 12-footer up, no good. Rebounded by John Sweat as they bring the ball forecourt, driving to the left of the key. And McGee puts a shot up there, no good. Rebounded by Whittemore again. Boy, she's had a bunch of rebounds herself there. She brings the ball across the timeline, passes it over to Cepeda, works it over now to Walder. Fires it cross court for a three-point attempt. Swish! Nothing but net for Whittemore on that shot. Gets her up to about her average now. She's got 19 points in the game. We're going to have five new players coming in. And when I say new, I guess they're just they've already. There's a shot miss and rebound to Whittemore. She drives in, goes up. Yes, and one. Ooh, and taking a spill was Benton. Zion Benton went hard into the wall, which is right practically underneath the basket, and she is in some pain there. Whittemore got the field goal. It put her at 21 points, and will have a free throw opportunity. But the concern now is Zion Benton, who is a 5'7 sophomore, as she was trying to stop the fast break that Whittemore was on, and ran right into the wall there. Ooh, boy, she, they have two players out with injuries before tonight. Destiny DeBoe had a shoulder injury, and she was averaging over 14 points per game. And they had Anhea Aurelio out with concussion protocol. And check with Dino here.
So at first I thought she might have injured her left elbow, but it actually looks like it might be her left knee, but she's being checked out right now. It's just amazing the way this gymnasium is set up. There's literally only a foot and a half or 2 feet of room beyond the baseline. There is padding there.
To the wall, yeah.
To the wall. There's padding there. From the baseline to the wall. But there's padding, but if you're running really fast, it's not going to provide a lot of help.
A lot of cushion. Yeah, let me just mention this. The information we have from the Weather Service is, to keep you posted here, there was an alert. This came from the Marin County Sheriff's Office at the National Weather Service in that area. This is for the Marin County area, has issued a flood warning there until 9 o'clock tonight. And the Weather Service is forecasting more heavy rains coming and some high winds tonight, too. And that would equal some potential for local flooding. And that's for around the North Bay area continuing overnight. So take precautions. Protect yourself. And just avoid any down power lines or anything.
Yeah, and I had also heard when I was driving over here that Highway 121 is closed in Shellville due to flooding, which happens whenever we get a lot of rain. So don't know when that might reopen. If it continues to rain, that could be closed for a while. There are detour routes, though, typically marked to get around that area.
Okay, well, the Braves have put some of their younger players into the game now. In fact, we're going to have to find our roster to give you the names of those. Free throw is no good by Whittemore as she missed the free throw, and it's rebounded And we have a whistle. And coming into the lineup is Sarah Reynolds. And we'll pick out some of the players who have come in. Cassie Richardson has come in. There's a shot, low post, no good by Stewart. Rebound, Stewart, no good. And Richardson tries for the rebound, the scramble for it. And Carly Wells gets it for the Braves. A long pass down underneath to Rosenbrand. Rosenbrand has the ball stolen from her, and it's picked up by Stewart. She gets the ball into the forecourt, then driving the baseline, going up, missing, putting a shot back up, and scoring on the easy layup. There was Patrick. Ball came right to her on the opposite side of the basket. It makes it 67-35, minute and a half to go, and a bad pass there by Sarah Reynolds. Sails out of bounds, as was intended for Cassie Richardson, a 5'9 freshman. I think this is her first experience there on the varsity team. They'll put a lot of emphasis on bringing these younger players around for next year, Richardson being one of them. As John Sweat brings the ball in the forecourt, and nearly stolen by Sarah Reynolds, but they get the pass over to Neal. This is Essence Neal. They're underneath to Stewart. Missed another shot underneath. Rebounded by the Braves, and a travel is called. Carly Wells got the ball but fell down again and was called for the travel violation. Just over a minute to go here in the fourth quarter. Moss Fields puts the ball into play, and it's stolen by Isabel Wright, coming down Reynolds, and a whistle. And we had a reach-in foul is going to be called against Neal. Essence, what a pretty name. They have some interesting names. Essence Neal, Destiny DeBow, Lexi Thatcher at the free throw line, and missing the free throw, so she won't get the bonus, was Reynolds, rebounded by John Sweat. They hurry it down into the forecourt. Over on the right side, open for a three. Firing is Moss Fields. No good. Rebounded by Sarah Reynolds. She'll bring it into the forecourt. Over to Wells. Wells is pulled way out, and the ball is deflected, stolen away. A two-on-two fast break. Coming down, going to the right side, and then bringing it back out. They get it to Stewart. Stewart was going to fire a three, and she hit it. The big girl firing from three-point range and drilled it. She has 18 points now. Final half minute of the ball game and the season for the Braves. Richardson underneath, that ball deflected, goes for against Stewart, and Stewart wins that battle, fires it into the forecourt for Moss Field, fires a three, swish, nothing but net, and that's her first basket of the game, and that'll be the final basket as there are only 2 seconds left from midcourt, and instead of shooting, Reynolds passes the ball as the clock runs out on the Braves. They had another nine-point quarter there in the fourth quarter compared to 22 points in the quarter for John Sweat. But I want to mention one score that was an earlier game that John Sweat played against Foothill. This is the Foothill in Sacramento. And John Sweat won the game 81-9. That was the final in that one, 81-9. And they played Willsey Wood, which is now in the MEL yet and has the number two seed in the Division Three, but the number two seed. And this is Division Four, and they beat Wood 75-53, just to give you an idea of the strength of this team. We'll be back with the scoring, the shooting statistics, and our player of the game, and I guess maybe a final comment or two from the coach after the season has come to an end for Justin Sienna, losing tonight 73-35. Back after these minutes. Well, welcome back here as we'll be wrapping it up from Crockett, California, here with the shooting statistics, Dino Alessio. Wait a minute, see if I can get the coach here before we go to Dino. Andrew, if we can get a quick comment from Andrew here. He's going he's right here beside us. Just a quick comment from him. It's pretty tough to do after a loss, but what a buzzsaw there you guys ran into tonight.
That's a good basketball team. As I said to the newspaper just now, I don't want to criticize the NCS, but that's not a 4 seed over there. Nor do I think we were a 13, but it is what it is. We matched up against them, and they were flat out better than us tonight.
Well, you weren't a hitting, but as part of that, you have to credit to the defense that John Sweat had.
They do. They force you into some tough shots. I thought we did miss a lot of open shots, unfortunately, but that happens sometimes. John Sweat's a good team. And they're, I believe they'll get Piedmont, as long as Piedmont handled their business tonight, next, and that should be a good basketball game.
I thought that, too, the gymnasium, the size of it and the size of the court and all could have been a somewhat of a factor.
Yeah, I mean, I've ran into that wall before as a player years ago. It's a tough gym to play in, but you know what? It's a gym, and it's got 10-foot hoops and 15-foot free throw lines, and, you know, they were just better tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, as you said, that was a really tough team. But what next now as far as the girls' basketball?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go say goodbye to 5 seniors, and that's the hard part tonight is that, you know, we got to say goodbye to 5 great kids who've made an impact on our program and our school. So that's the first thing. And then the next thing is, you know, you move forward into the next season. But right now, my focus is on saying goodbye to those seniors and making sure we thank them properly.
We'll let you do that in just a second. Just a little bit of credit to your assistant coaches.
Tim Moy and Haley Kremen. I'm lucky. I have great assistant coaches. They do so much for us. The kids absolutely love them. We've been able to develop some players, and that's largely due to our assistant coaches. I think that the one player that shows it the most this year is Bella Wright. Bella Wright has gotten better because she's worked hard, number one, and number two, because Haley Kremen's worked hard with her.
And she's only a freshman.
Yeah, as you see by the smile on my face.
Okay, Andrew, thanks for your cooperation this season, and best wishes in the off season. We hope to see you next winter.
Thank you, Iron. We appreciate all your guys' coverage and driving all the way to Crockett on a Wednesday night. So thank you guys for everything that you do.
All right, our pleasure. Andrew Bentoncourt there, his fifth year as the head coach. Now, Dino, sorry to take the mic, but you've got her now.
No, that's all right, and congratulations again to the coaching staff and players of Justin for another terrific season of basketball. So let's look at the team shooting numbers for the Justin Siena Braves. They ended up taking 57 field goal attempts and making 14 of them. That's just under 25%. They were 4 out of 16 from three-point range, which is also 25%, and they were 3 out of 10 from the free throw line. For the John Sweat Warriors, they ended up taking 69 field goal attempts and making 27 of them. They were 8 for 23 from three-point range, and 11 out of 15 very strong from the free throw line. Turnovers ended up 27 turnovers for the Justin Braves, 19 turnovers for the John Sweat Warriors. Justin had 6 assists on their 14 made baskets. John Sweat had 15 assists on their 27 made baskets. The rebounding was 49 to 31 in favor of John Sweat. John Sweat blocked 3 shots. Justin had no blocked shots. And Sweat scored first and led wire to wire, pulling away 73 to 35, Ira.
Okay, we'll take a look at the individual scoring here in just a moment. First of all, I just want to pass along again the flood warning information that we had, the latest coming from the Marin County Sheriff's Office, that there is a flood warning out until 9 p.m. Tonight. So it only had about a little over a half an hour to go on that warning. But there, with the heavy rains and the high winds, there's potential for some local flooding. So be very cautious there. If you have a question and you want to find out the latest weather information, I'll give you a phone number here in just a moment. You can call that phone number 24 hours a day, and it will give you the latest information. And so, if we can get it on the radio, we'll have it on KVON. If you're by a phone and you want to find out exactly what the situation is at that time, call this number. It's area 831-656-1725. I'll 911 for this kind of purpose. But you can call that number, and I'll give that to you after I give you the individual scoring. First of all, for the victorious John Sweat Warriors, they were led in scoring by Veronica McGee. The coach's daughter had 9 field goals. Of those, 4 were 3-pointers. And let's see, 3 of them were 3-pointers. She had 3 out of 5 at the free throw line. Maya Stewart, who only had 2 points in the first quarter, she's the tall gal, and she wound up with 18 points, including that last basket of hers, a 3-pointer. She had 6 field goals, 1 of those 3-pointer, and 5 out of 7 at the foul line. Also, Lexi Datcher, who started out strong, had 7 points in the first quarter, wound up with 16 points in the game on 6 field goals, of which 2 were 3-pointers, and she was 2 for 2 at the foul line. So those were the double-figure scores. Others that figured in the scoring, Jaden Bussey had 2 field goals. One of them was a 3-pointer, and 1 for 1 at the foul line for 6 points. And Courtney Patrick, in a reserve role, had a couple field goals for 4 points. Zion Benton, who got in foul trouble early, had a field goal for 2 points. Farzena Moss Fields had a 3-point basket for her only scoring in the ball game, and that was a total of 73 points for John Sweat. For Justin Sienna, leading scorer, as she has been this season, Ashley Whittemore, who had 9 field goals, including 2 3-pointers. She was 1 for 3 at the foul line for 21 points, just over her average. The next highest with 4 points was Lexi Rosenbrand, who had 1 field goal and 2 out of 4 at the free throw line for 4 points. Then Sarah Reynolds had a 3-point basket, missed her free throw attempt, so she wound up with 3 points, as did Kieran Monteverdi. The same total, basically. She had a field goal for 3 points, a 3-point field goal, and missed her only free throw. Isabel Wright for Bella, as you heard Andy Betancourt allude to, had a field goal for 2 points. And Carly Wells had a field goal for 2 points, missed her only free throw attempt. And basically that was the extent of the scoring for Justin Sienna. So we salute the 5 seniors who were leaving the program, and our best wishes to those that are remaining on. Now I'll give you that phone number once again, and we'll pick a player of the game. If you want to call the National Weather Service, they have a 24-hour hotline, and the number is 831-656-1725. Dino, player of the game.
For Justin, I would say Ashley Whittemore. She scored 21 points, and I counted at least 4 long-range shots that she took that might have gone in but just didn't quite. So she could have had over 30 points with a little luck.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Veronica McGee. I thought she quarterbacked the team. She was high-scoring the game. I don't think she came out of the game the entire time, played the entire ball game, and was the real player out there when it came to counting on someone. You could count on her.
Absolutely. The entire John Sweat team was very impressive. They played terrifically smart basketball. They played a team game. They set each other up for buckets. They showed a tremendous amount of athletic ability and poise. They won the game big, and they look like they are poised to go deep into the playoffs. And this is a program that was barely winning any games 3 years ago, so the coach deserves a tremendous amount of credit because he has this team poised to make a long run in these section playoffs.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll get those other 2 players back that are out with injuries. And he, Leo, who has that concussion protocol, and Destiny DeBoe, who has that shoulder problem. Their next opponent will be either Piedmont, the number 5 seed, or Middletown, the number 12 seed, and that will be on Saturday. If they win that, they would go into a game against probably St. Patrick St. Vincent's in the semifinal. And if they would win that, they would probably go against Del Norte, or it could have been Marin Catholics in that division as well. So that's pretty much our story.
I think so, and it looks like we're kind of done with high school basketball for this year, although we do have the Prolific Prep broadcast coming up a week from Friday, and we're also going to do that inter-squad charity game on a Sunday coming up. So we still have a few more basketball games to bring you.
Yeah, that Prolific Prep game benefit is going to be Sunday, March the 3rd at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Napa Valley College. Admission is free, but they will accept donations, and they'll have elected officials there from the state as well as locals. Sheriff John Robertson is helping organize the event, and the Prolific Prep players and coaches and all will be there. So try to be there if you can. Again, that date is March the 3rd. Our thanks to our KVON Sports Boosters for our coverage of basketball this season. To Angelo Lyons, our engineer, nice job back at the station. And thanks to our listeners, too, as we hope that when you have the opportunity, you'll patronize those folks that are our KVON Sports Boosters. Again, leading scorers tonight, it was Veronica McGee with 24 points for John Sweat, Ashley Whittemore with 21 points for Justin Siena, who ends the season 13 wins and 15 losses. John Sweat goes to the next round with a 20-win and 7-loss record. Along with Dino Alessio from Crockett, California, this is Ira C. Smith reminding you our final, the John Sweat Warriors of Crockett 73, the Justin Siena Braves of Napa 35.